Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is our guest speaker, Pastor Mike Haynes, with today's message. The truth be told for the saving of
souls. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to all who are here this morning and those who are viewing by live stream. Mike Haynes standing in for Pastor Fred, and those of you who, I think most of you in here probably know me, but those of you maybe on live stream who don't know me, I'm a friend of this ministry for what, probably as long as Pastor Fred has been here, and I've been coming, preaching. Pastor Fred and I started doing prison ministry together, what, 20-some years ago. We went to all of the prisons in the state of Ohio, and we became good friends, and I had the honor, I think it was 5 years ago, to marry him, and it's one of the highlights of my life, just to be able to bless him on his wedding day. And so it's been just a wonderful experience to be associated in part and been able to come and minister here and Russell Rhodes. So thank God for everyone being here. Thank you for viewing by live stream. I want to open up with scripture this morning. It's going to come from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. And I want to kind of open with a statement that says that if you are a committed Christian, you're going to be tested. If you are a committed Christian, particularly in the day that we're in now, you're going to be tested. You got to prepare yourself for being tested because you're going to be tested. So as we look at the test, we've got to prepare ourselves to be able to pass. You know, when I was in school, the teacher would say, next week we're going to have a test, and we're going to go over the requirements of the test so you can be ready for next week. And I always appreciated that because it gave me an idea of what might be on the test. And so gave me, sometimes they would trick you, they'd tell you one thing and something else. But most cases, they kind of gave you a hint, and it gave you an idea on how to prepare. So today I want to give you an idea on how to prepare for what is going to be coming against you as you stand firm in the Lord, particularly in this day in which we're in. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not be boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, from this scripture, we see two lifestyles. We see the lifestyle of the flesh, and we see the lifestyle of the Spirit. The lifestyle of the flesh is really the dominant lifestyle of America. Americans love pleasure. And the lifestyle that we see in domination is one that caters to the flesh. Americans cater to the flesh. The lifestyle of the Spirit is really centered around the kingdom of God. It is the lifestyle that we would hope that most Christians up here too. We desire the kingdom of God to be manifested. We want to be a part of that kingdom. We want to live in that kingdom. We want to show forth that kingdom to the world. So today, as modern American Christians, we then have really three priorities. And the first priority that you and I, all of us, are called to do the work of an evangelist. We are to lead as many people to the Lord as we can. We're called to be ambassadors. We're given the ministry of reconciliation. Second thing is that we're called to prepare for the coming of the Lord. We all know if we're students of the Word, and if we look at and we see what's happening, that we're in the last days. We're expecting at any point, at any time, the coming of the Lord. We got to be ready. We want to be as of those wise virgins who were ready when the Lord comes. We don't want to have to go back and get anything. We want to be ready when the trumpets sound and the Lord comes, that we're going with him into the kingdom. And then the third thing we want to preach and teach and live on sound biblical doctrine and principles, because that is where we will be tested. That is where we're going to be facing persecution. We're going to be facing difficulties, and we got to know what we believe in. We got to be able to stand on the Word of God that we know. We've got to be able to stand on the doctrines of the Word of God we know, because when we're tested, we're going to be tested on what we believe and where we stand on those beliefs. So that's our priorities as Christians. Now, we're facing a battle for our hearts and for our minds, and therefore, I'd like to just use as a topic for today, the battle of the flesh. The battle of the flesh. Are we ready for the battle of the flesh? Now, the satanic objectives against the believer is three things. Alienate the believer from God. Neutralize your witness and testimony as a believer. And defeat the effectiveness of the redemptive work of God in your life. The scriptures highlight that this is the major battle that we're going to face in these end times. And you've heard it said that the battle of the believer really is centered around three things, and the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there's a direct relationship between these three, I would say, enemies of the people of God, and how they affect us as believers. But God's word tells us that we have to deal with these enemies, and so how do we deal with these enemies as we live in this world today? Well, let's just take the world today, the world, number one, the world. The world and how it attacks the believer. The world wants conformity to its priorities. We live in a world that says we want conformity to your priorities. The world wants obedience. The world operates under structures of human authority that says you must obey its commands. And we see this more so today maybe than at any other time. The world has authority to sanction you for noncompliance to his directives. The current world system, we know, is ungodly. They are pushing ungodly objectives. They have created narratives of thought, and these narratives of thought are centered around the way you think. They want to influence the way you think as a Christian. They want to influence what you believe as a Christian, and they want you to participate in the system in their global system. And so therefore, you are being pushed, you're being cajoled, you're being managed by narratives to make you think and act and behave a certain way that is in conformity with their system. And we've seen this happen, and we have experienced some of this these last couple years through all of the things that have happened in this world, in this nation. But how do we deal with that? How do we deal with living in this world and being pushed and cajoled and managed in such a way? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15-17, tells us how to overcome the influence of this world system. It tells us simply, don't love it. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. But if anyone loves the world, he says, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in this lust thereof, but he who doeth the will of God lives forever. The word simply commands us as believers that we are not to love the world. We are not to love the world, but love the Father. We overcome this temptation by focusing our love on the Father and not the world. Do not love the world, but love God. So we know that if we make sure that we have our love objective right, we can overcome this world because we're not putting our love, we're not putting everything we care about in the world, we're putting it all on God. And we're loving Him. We can win against the world. What about the next enemy? Well, I want to deal with the next enemy here, and the next enemy would be the devil. We're talking here about a direct influence of the devil as he attempts to in deception and temptations against the people of God. We can certainly see that happening. Deception and temptations of the devils. We see demonic activity operating in the atmosphere all around us, all around the world. We can see a lot of activity happening. I was telling the other group this morning that I was in Atlanta last Sunday, and as I was coming into the city, going to visit the relatives, you know, last week there were protests all over the nation because of the Roe v. Wade situation, and as I was driving, I was on the way heading toward downtown Atlanta. There was an area cordoned off where the protesters could be, and I saw all of these women. I mean, just a whole bunch of women. They were character of characters. I mean, they were dressed all kind of just ways. Their signs were nasty and filthy and horrible. You know, they had kids out there participating in it, and they were yelling and screaming and hollering and just, you know, it was a satanic. You felt a satanic atmosphere in that area in which they were in. And I just looked at that and I said, wow, you know, this is incredible. You know, just. You know, you can feel the presence of a demonic pushing on of those ladies as they were just out there yelling and screaming and willing to fight and do whatever just to kill babies is what they wanted to do. So demonic activity is everywhere. It's on display. And if you are a Christian, you can see it by the way people are behaving. You can see the murder rate is rising. Hatred is increasing. Destruction of every institution, every social institution we have in this nation. Family is under stress, work is under stress, government is corrupt, and even there's penetration even in the church of God where men and women, leaders are falling under the temptations that are being perpetrated against them. The tactic is to penetrate and destroy from within. And the focus is to destroy the believer, to retreat from the battlefield, to give up on the mission. And the devil wants you as the believer to stop witnessing. He wants you to stop praying, stop reading your word, stop studying your Bible, stop worshiping. And that's really the focus of his attack. But I want to say that what does the word say about this and how those who are committed should deal with this? Well, James 4:7 puts it very simply. He says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit to God, you who are committed, submit yourself to God. Get in that point where you're submitted unto Him. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How do you resist him? Well, resist and defeat the devil by using the word of God. Jesus showed us how to do that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Showed us how to do a counterattack against the direct assault of the devil by using the word. In that scripture, it says, the tempter came and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He said, Jesus answered him and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how do we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? We believe we live by every word that is written in the word of God. We proceed, we live by, we stand on, we walk in. Every word that is out of the word of God that God has given to us. We fight the good fight by using the word of God. Jesus used the word of God and defeated the temptations of the devil. And we can use the word to defeat the direct attack of the devil as well. We can overcome him. We can have the victory over him. And so we can deal with the world by not loving it. And we can deal really with the devil by resisting him with the word of God. He certainly can't stand for you to use the word of God. But then there's a third assault. There's a third enemy that we face. And I have come to believe that it's probably the most powerful and effective effective enemy against the believer because its appeal is so natural. The enemy originates from our own soul, from the inner man, and because it's originated from inside of us, it's hard to spot and stop because until it causes damage to our relationship with God and with other people. And that enemy that we have to deal with is the flesh, this flesh that's in us. Paul taught extensively about the battle of the flesh and the war between the flesh and the spirit. Every church that Paul wrote to had to deal with this issue. It was in the Corinthian church. It was in the Galatian church. It was in the church at Colossae. It was in every church that had to deal with this notion of the flesh. It was in the early church. It was in the medieval church. It is in the modern church. This battle of the flesh. Now, the flesh really is an indirect weapon of choice, really, for Satan against the believer because it's harder to detect and correct before it does damage to the believer. And see, our physical desires can hinder our spirituality. Our physical desires can hinder, if we're not careful, if we're not submitted, if we're not walking in the spirit, our physical desires can hinder our spirituality. Man is triune. He's a triune being. He has the image of God. He's triune. And man is spirit, soul, and body. And the satanic goal is penetration into the life of the believer to accomplish John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. See, we are the targets. You know, folks, we think that, well, it's these people out here. It's those protesters out there that I saw last week. But you know, I'm finding that the real battle is not those protesters out there. The battle is right here. It's me. It's you. Here's the attack. I'm more attacked by that than those protesters out there. And so when enemy, how I respond to those protesters may be the case where I'm either in victory or defeated by the enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Paul, in his writings, specifically identified these works of the flesh. There was sexual immorality, it was impurity, it was sensuality, it was idolatry, it was sorcery, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. He goes through them all: robberies, dissensions, envy, and drunkenness, orgies. Galatians 5:19-20 talks about them. All of these activities of the flesh. And interesting enough, Paul is writing to Christians. He's identifying that these things are in these Christians. They're in these Galatian Christians. They're in these Corinthians Christians. They're in these Colossian Christians. They're in these American Christians. And he says, this is your fight. This is what you've got to root out. This is what you've got to bring under control. This is what you've got to make sure it doesn't hinder you from being everything that God has called you to be. Even though the believer's soul and heart are cleansed by salvation through Jesus Christ, the flesh and the mind remain susceptible to carnal desires and continues to yearn for earthly satisfaction. We've got to deal with that. Our battle with the flesh is initiated by the application of the sacrificial blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We become united in the spirit when we are saved, but yet and still, we're still battling with this nature, this flesh, this carnality that exists within us that we have to bring under control of the blood of Jesus Christ. But we can apply a prescription, the prescription of Romans 12:1-2, in order to renew and transform our minds by the word of God. You and I can do that. We take this word and we apply it to ourselves. We transform, we renew, and we transform our minds by the word of God so that we can do the good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. How do we do it? How do we deal with it? How do we do this? Well, there's one word command that Paul gives us on what we're to do and how to deal with this flesh. That one word is we crucify it. We crucify it. How do you deal with the flesh? You crucify it. We crucify it. We kill it. We kill it by faith in the word of God. We kill it. Paul noted in Galatians 5:24-25, he said, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, he says, then, and assuming that we're crucified, we'll walk in the Spirit. Paul also says in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I've been crucified. I no longer live. You see, that's really what we are about. You see, no one really wants to see you. The world doesn't want to see you. When you present yourself to the world as a Christian, they really don't want to see you. They really want to see Jesus. And so if you present yourself in anything to them, they can't see Jesus and they can't hear what you're saying. But when they see Jesus, they have to respond one way or the other. Either they're going to accept or reject. But you, they can completely disregard. He said, I no longer live. But what you're going to see in my life now is Christ living in me. You're going to see Christ. And the life that I'm living in the Spirit of Christ, in the power of Christ, in the anointing of Christ, with the ability of Christ. That's what he's saying. As the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucify the flesh, live by faith in Jesus. That's how you win over the flesh. You kill it. And then you resurrect the human spirit, live according to the word of God. Paul writes about this constantly in the New Testament. You can do a survey on that. You can look it up. You can just look at the large number of scripture that deals with this issue. Romans 6, particularly in the book of Romans. Romans 6:11. Likewise, he says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. There it is. He says, reckon yourself, render yourself dead. Let death be in you so you can live unto Christ Jesus. Romans 6:7 says it this way, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So he's saying that if you're dead, you're free from sin. So if you are dead to this thing, you're set free. A dead man doesn't sin. Has anybody ever seen a dead man sin? Dead man is dead. There's no more sinning for him. He may have been a sinner. He may have sinned. But when he dies, there's no more sin. His sin has been written and done with. I'm talking about you are the die to sin while you're alive so that your sin can be done with. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto him. You're freed from sin. If you are dead to the world, you will have no problem with sin. If you're dead to the world, you have no problem with sin. Romans 8:13 tells us, well, if we live according to the flesh, you will die. He's talking about you will die spiritually. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live spiritually. If you don't kill the flesh will kill you spiritually. If we don't deal with this thing, man, it's going to get us. It's going to kill us. We've got to kill this flesh. We've got to bring it under subjection. We've got to crucify it. That's what Paul is saying. He says this throughout the New Testament. So many scriptures he referenced. See, this was a problem. This is the problem. He's dealing with Christians who are coming out of a pagan world, used to live in a pagan lifestyle, have pagan priorities, and are subject and influenced by pagan directives. And he said, you've got to die to that. You can't live by that anymore. Listen, you have a new nature in you. And that nature has to be dominant. It has to overcome that which was of the flesh so that you can glorify God. We're dead to the world, we're alive under Christ, you should be free from sin. The flesh has no power over you if you're dead to the world and you're alive under Christ. Notice how Paul describes the struggle. Now, Paul, you know, he opens himself up in Romans chapter 7 to his own struggle. He's saying, you know, I know what this is like because I struggle with it. In fact, every one of us struggles with this. No one has this down pat. We struggle. It's a fight. It's a struggle, daily struggle. Paul highlights his struggle in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. And in this, he gives us a view of the conflict between two natures of the believer. But this is what he says. He says, if I know that the law is spiritual, his standard he sets before him is the law. He says, I know that the law is spiritual, but I'm of flesh, soul in bondage to sin. or what I am doing, I do not understand. Or I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I'm doing the very thing I hate. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we do what we hate. We know the right thing to do. I mean, I think if we all were faced with a situation, you know, and there was a wrong way and a right, we know the right way to do it. We do. But there's just something about when the pressure gets on and the emotions get in there and you start feeling that anger, you start feeling that frustration, and you begin to deal with that thing, man, that flesh wells up into you and say, I'm not going to let him get away with that. I'm not going to let her say that to me. You know how it is. The pressure gets in there. That boss comes in there and lambasts you and tell you you're anything but a good for nothing. And you say, how dare he comes in there and say this to me? Flesh. We've all had to strive with that. We've all had to strive with putting that under subjection. Here it is. Paul says that I do the thing I hate. I hate that. Man, I hate that about myself. I hate that I respond that way. I don't want to respond that way. Man, I hate that. He said, I do that what I hate, verse 16. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the standard. I confess that the standard is good, that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but there is this thing, this sin, this flesh which dwells in me. That's what's pushing me. It's pushing me to do what I hate. See, this is the battle of the struggle of the believer that occurs in the flesh. And we're striving. Man, we're striving against the will of God. We're striving against it. Verse 18 says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. I'm willing to do it. He said, I'm willing to do it. The spirit is willing. You know? But man, that body, man, that body, that soul, man, that mind, man, you know, oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, I want to get back. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I don't want. But I'm doing the very thing I do not want. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And I find the principle, here it is, the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Isn't that amazing that in every one of us, there's a principle of evil that's in us that wants to do the wrong thing, that wants to push us to do the wrong thing when we know what the good thing is? You know, we know what the thing is God wants us to do. So if I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging a war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. You see, we're in a warfare, and the warfare is us. It's not out there. It's not those people. You know, it's not those people. Those people, we ought to be motivated by love to try to win them in. All those ladies that I saw out there, man, you know, instead of me getting angry at them, I'm going to admit to you, I was getting angry. I'm going to admit to you, I was frustrated. I was going to admit, I hated what I saw. But you know, as I think about it, I said, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to go to hell. Oh my God, if they want to kill babies, something's got to be wrong with them. They need to know the Lord. Instead of getting angry at them and going, let me get my sign and go out there and let me attack them and let me beat them down. And my heart said, oh my God, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. I have to deal with that. It's frustration in myself. See, this is really the classic battle of the believer.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. For the sake